Welcome given to B'nai B'rith. The Atlanta Constitution, Monday, the 30th of March, 1914, page 1, column 2. Higher Idealism in Affairs of Jewish Race, voiced at opening session of 40th Convention. Today's program. 10 a.m. opening of Convention Hall of Hebrew Orphan Home, Washington Street. Opening prayer, Rabbi N. Kalish. Welcome, Leonard Haas, past president, District No. 5, IOBB. Welcome, Honorable J.G. Woodward, Mayor of Atlanta. Annual message to Grand Lodge President Lionel Weil, business. Luncheon at 1 p.m. at 8 p.m. business session will be continued. At 8 p.m. celebration of 25th anniversary of the Hebrew Orphan Home at Orphan Home Hall, distribution of prizes. Address, Honorable Simon Wolf, President, Hebrew Orphan Home. Address, Mrs. Joel Hillman. Voicing higher idealism in the affairs of the Jewish race. Speakers at the opening exercises of the 40th Convention of District Grand Lodge. No dot five comma independent order of B'nai B'rith, now in session in Atlanta, in convention with the 25th anniversary of the Hebrew Orphans Home, last night held an audience in the Prior Street Temple, spellbound. Special mention was made of the recent statements of Leo Frank, in that David R. Stern of Greensboro, N.C., in his address, declared that he was not of the pessimistic class. When one can cry from the very gates of death that the truth is on the march, when I knew that our leader has such ideals as his heart dictates, I have no crossings to and fro in my mind as to the trend of justice in this country of ours, said Mr. Stern. Many states represented. Delegates from 5 states are here in attendance at the convention. Many noted organizers and speakers of the B'nai B'rith are also here. The auditorium of the Prior Street Temple was packed to standing room at the initial exercises Saturday night. Reverend Dr. David Marks, the eminent Atlanta scholar, presided at the gathering and introduced the speakers. Madame Bella Pevsner addressed the audience, making a stirring plea for more recognition of the Jewish women in the affairs of Jewish men. Madame Pevsner said, in part, "In the evolution of time, there always comes a great revolution of the people foreordained by a great human advance or agency. On the threshold of our present revolution, we see the organization represented here tonight, the B'nai B'rith. The poets speak of love, sing praises on undying faith, but we find them silent on the great question of the right of women and children to live to be a part of the affairs of man. Our people just now are in the midst of a great unrest. We must raise the standard of brotherhood through this great human agency, the B'nai B'rith, and carry forward the fight to the end that our ideals shall be made universal. Our history is age-long. Our pages are full of deeds of posterity. Out of the present-day history, we find but one organization in our life that has placed altruistic ideals above the commercial existence, and that is the organization to whose delegates I am speaking here tonight. I urge you to write down deeds of greatness today as well as in the past. We must fight to dissolve the prejudice that exists against us. In this country alone can the Jew mold his own destiny, and in doing that, I urge you to go forth to your homes as the messengers of this organization and spread its gospel." David Stern speaks. David P. Stern of Greensboro, N.C., was introduced by Dr. Marks as the Maccabean fighter for God and country. Mr. Stern spoke in part, "Neither day nor night has the hatred of the world against us ceased. Other nations may have an aristocracy of blood, but our nation surely has the aristocracy of tragedy. Our race has maintained down through the ages a solidarity like unto the Gulf Stream. The explanation of this unity is simple. We are a people with a vision. Where a nation has no vision, that Na continued on page 2. Welcome given to B'nai B'rith, page 2, column 5, continued from page 1. Tion perishes. History proves that the visions of Israel have proven true. But what of our future as a race? We must maintain a clear vision as well as one of dreams. Now of all times, Israel must maintain her vision of perfection, or the race will perish from the face of the earth. I believe that the great heritage of our people will be the solving, here in America, of the horrible economic conditions which have made possible the concentration of great wealth and the slavery of the people. This may sound socialistic, but it is vitally true. The basic principle on which we will fight this battle will be the principle of cooperation. Questions of the day. I have not the time to discuss the burning questions which face us, such as child slavery, overworked men and women. I'm not so much concerned with the private and religious life of the Jew of today, but I want him to take a greater hand in the economic affairs of our state and nation, and lend aid in correcting some of our most terrible evils of today. Do not believe that I am pessimistic, How could I be when from the very gates of death comes the voice of our leader, declaring from his heart that the truth is on the march? Mr. Stern closed his address with the quotation from Kipling that strength is in the pack. With Charles Sheldon at the organ, a splendid musical program was interspersed in the evening's entertainment. Following the speeches, refreshments were served the visitors and delegates in the vestry of the temple. Present on the platform last night were Dr. Marx, Mr. Stern, Rabbi C. A. Rubinstein, Dr. S. Mendelssohn, and Simon Wolfe, B'nai B'rith delegate lauds Atlanta spirit, discusses Frank Case, B.A. Banks, a B'nai B'rith delegate from Norfolk Bay, and a director of the Atlanta Orphans Home, talked entertainingly of the city last night. "I am amazed at your wonderful city," said Mr. Banks. "I had heard much of Atlanta, but the reality surpasses all my expectations. I realize now what the famed Atlanta spirit means. It has reared here upon these red hills of Georgia, a charming and B.A. Banks. Progressive city. At certain points of your Peachtree or Broad or Marietta streets, I constantly get the impression of being in New York. Mr. Banks, although still under 30 years of age, is a prominent attorney of Norfolk, has already served a term in the Virginia legislature, and has for years past conducted the Galaxy magazine. He has a high reputation as a public speaker. Speaking of the Frank case, Mr. Banks said, "In common with the sentiments of all my co-religionists, I am deeply solicitous that Leo Frank should have another and impartial trial, and I pray sincerely that he may be proven innocent of the heinous charge which hangs over him. It is something new under the sun for a Jew to commit a crime of this character, and my whole nature revolts at the thought of his guilt. Much, however, as I am concerned with the fate of Frank, I am still more so with the dignity and honor of my people and the cause of law and justice. No good Jew would wish to make any compromise with crime, and while we would hail the release of Leo Frank with thanksgiving, we must have the absolute conviction that he has been the innocent victim of circumstantial evidence and is not guilty of the awful crime laid against him. For the sake of our common humanity, he should be given the extraordinary benefit of a new trial. Witness for Frank sought in Chicago, page 2, column 6. Herbert Haas confers with Detective Agency Burns, expected to return to Atlanta today. Chicago, March 29th, H.J. Haas of counsel for Leo M. Frank of Atlanta Gay, sentenced to die for the murder of Mary Fagan, a factory employee, conferred here today with the head of a national detective agency which has been employed by Frank's friends. An important witness, whose testimony may result in a new trial being granted Frank, is being sought in one of the suburbs of this city, according to Haas. He declined to say who the witness was, or what was the nature of the testimony expected. A notice has been filed in Atlanta that an extraordinary motion for a new trial would be filed April 16th, the day before the date set for Frank's execution. When Detective William J. Burns returns to Atlanta today, it is expected that he will find himself confronted with a number of new angles that have developed in the Fagan murder mystery since his departure. This is to be gathered from the remarks of Dan Lahan, the Burns operative, who is in charge of the investigation in the absence of Burns. He declared last night that it is yet impossible to determine whether the Burns investigation will be concluded and the final report made this week. "A number of new angles have been discovered in the case," he said. "These will be called to the attention of Mr. Burns as soon as he returns. These contingents made it impossible to forecast how long it will take to complete the investigation." Lahan, pursuing the policy of his chief in dealing in generalities and steering away from anything concrete when making statements for publication, would not give any inkling of what the new angles might be. The Burns investigators here, however, are still confident in the ultimate unraveling of the mystery. Burns is expected back today. On Sunday, Leo M. Frank was surrounded by a large number of his friends at the tower with whom he chatted freely. He made no comment on his case for publication, but seemed well pleased with the progress that is being made.